Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone, or good evening, or good morning, wherever you may be listening and however you may be listening. Thank you so much. This is the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause, back at Bob Mackowitz's house again. That is Bob Mackowitz.
Hello, Matthew.
So let's get right to the news. I arrive, and I have to go to the bathroom, and as I'm walking downstairs to go to the same bathroom I went last time, you said, go upstairs. The one is a mess downstairs.
It's not exactly what I said, Matt. What I said exactly was, go upstairs, it's cleaner. Mm-hmm. Well, last time you were here, you shamed me because there was no towel in the bathroom. That's fair.
And there was just napkins.
There were napkins sitting
there. Placed precariously on the tub.
Because we had a lot on the go, mm-hmm. and we were just making do. We had a survivor's mentality.
Yeah.
So this time, I tidied up a little bit. Can you not say that it's a little cleaner in here?
It is. You were scrambling around when I arrived.
I said, I didn't finish.
Yeah.
When it was pretty bad at about 9 a.m.
Yeah.
But you're the persnickety friend. You're the friend that quietly notices everything. Now, you're not judgmental vocally.
Yeah.
But you are a tidy guy.
Yes.
And I am a total slob.
Yes.
So I try to lessen my shame by tidying when you get here.
Yeah, but also, it should be said, I am actually very low maintenance. Like, as long as, does the toilet work? Great. I'll figure my way around it. It does need to be said, your upstairs bathroom, you got the great shower with the rain shower head.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to have, because I just call that the rich guy shower head.
Right.
I love it. It's almost like it's simulating rain.
Well,
I love those.
So here's the thing. There's the rain shower head, but there's also a traditional one, the wand, you know, like the dishwashing one
that you pull out of the.
Okay. So my wife and I use different shower heads. She uses the rain one and I use the other one.
Different shower heads. Ooh right. la la.
But here's the thing, right? I go in and everything's turned off. There's two nozzles. One controls each. Mm-hmm. And so I'll turn mine on and it doesn't work, but then hers will go on. So this always pisses me off, Matt. This always pisses me off. Because you know what it's like when you get the burst of water that you weren't expecting?
Oh, yeah.
It's the worst.
It is. And it's usually too cold or too hot.
Because it hasn't warmed up yet. So you get the first thing in the morning you do is you get a blast of cold water on top of your head.
Yeah.
Thankfully, my sideshow Bob-esque hair prevents it from actually touching my scalp for a while.
That is true. That is. It is.
It's a buffer.
It's a protective layer.
It's like when they pull the tarp over at a rainout at a ball game.
Yeah.
Yeah, my lid's a bit like that.
Yep.
As hockey guys would say, the salad. By the way, that was Matt's BlackBerry beeping. Who could be calling you on the bat phone, Matt?
It is my girlfriend. And she's like, can you chat for a second? I'm like, no, I can't.
You are chatting for the next 45 minutes, but with me.
I'm chatting with you. Because we're going to go visit my dad after this. It's his 85th birthday.
Happy birthday. It's the Lou Cause birthday edition of the podcast.
Yeah, he'll never listen to this, though.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Well, you know what? Getting to be 85 teaches you not to waste your time.
That's true.
All right, so we got Leafs takeaways because they had their first loss of the season last night. We got Leafs in six words. We had a deluge of them come in, so thank you for that.
Listener questions.
Listener questions. I want to do a Yankees takeaway from last night. They beat the Cleveland Indians coming back from two games down in the ALDS.
Yeah.
And possibly the most contentious and difficult to assemble top five in the history of this pod.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, it is. Do you want to say what it is?
Yeah, just simply. It's the Last Jedi trailer number two came out. And so in honor of that, Matt and I put together our top five Star Wars characters.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you. Things fell apart.
Yeah.
This has been a difficult time for Matt and I.
Mm-hmm. That, you just saw the trailer.
I just saw the trailer.
And just watching your reaction, you know, it was great because I saw it a couple days ago. Same thing. Hair is up. I'm you know, emotional. We'll talk about that trailer.
I'm doing this pod in the shadow of that trailer, which has kind of left me a bit verklempt.
Yeah.
And a bit frightened for the future of Rey.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to.
Which we'll get to. Yeah. But the top five, like.
Maybe the most shocking announcement, though, in the history of Macko and Cause is that we're not going to lead off with my Leafs takeaway.
Yep.
But that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-European League member Matt Cause wants to start off with a soccer takeaway.
Yes.
A little bit of the footy.
A little bit of the footy. A little bit of the brilliant game. you know, on the pitch.
The beautiful game?
The beautiful game. What
you
arrogance.
Don't even know what it is.
Well, that's so, it the is beautiful, beautiful game. It, okay, what's more arrogant? That description or breakfast is the most important meal of the day while lunch meats and steak are sitting there going, bleep you, breakfast.
Well, they didn't say the best. They said the most important, and it is, so that your body has fuel so that it can operate properly.
Feels a little arrogant to me. Just going to throw it out there.
I think it's just good branding. Yeah, smart branding. It's like Wheaties calling itself the champ, the breakfast of champions.
Breakfast of champions.
Now that's a little arrogant.
Yes. Or what's the beer? That's the champagne of beer.
It's a Miller Lite?
Yes. Yes. I believe that's true. Someone will tweet us that we're wrong. No, my takeaway, it's a little bit about soccer, but it's also about the idea of pressure. So the U.S. soccer team is not going to the 2018 World Cup. They got eliminated by Trinidad and Tobago. And the one stat I loved was there is more people in the city of Corpus Christi than there is in Iceland. And Iceland is going to the World Cup. And this has a huge impact. Fox paid about $200 million. Nike's going to lose out on this. MLS might hurt them. Youth soccer. Like, this could hurt so many different tentacles of soccer in the United States.
I will say this before you continue.
Yeah.
If you ever needed proof that FIFA has not got match fixing in this.
Ding, ding, ding.
That would be it. And yeah. FIFA could probably use a bit of ethical bump up these days.
Yeah, well, that could help. Fox has 350 live hours of programming.
Uh-oh.
Now, listen, only part of that would have been devoted to the United States anyway. It's not like they were going to go to the finals, but this is devastating. But there was an interesting point here made by Taylor Twellman, who's an ESPN soccer analyst. And he went on a crazy rant about it, and it was fantastic. But he brought up the point that there is no pressure on these players because he said, and he said this on ESPN, he said, you guys, pointing to the SportsCenter anchor, you're not going to talk about this team in 2 days. You're going to forget about this team and you're going to forget about this tournament. He's like, in Europe, this will be going on over and over. There's always pressure on management, on coaches, on the entire organization. But he said, there's no pressure on these players because you in America will forget about it. And it got me thinking about the maybe positive impact of media pressure. Because I never thought about it, but maybe pressure can actually do some good things.
So and by media, I think by extension, that's fan pressure because the media connects the fans.
Yeah.
And by media, you don't just mean like editorials, you mean broadcasting.
Yes.
You know, wraparound programming, just the sort of the deluge of content that comes around our sports here.
Yes.
That's what you mean by media pressure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, thank you for adding that. Yes, it's the fans as well. And I was like, maybe, because we always talk about the negativity of pressure. Jeannie Bouchard, so much pressure coming from Canada for her to do well. What seemed to me that the U.S. men's national soccer team, maybe some more pressure and maybe even some negative pressure maybe could have helped them.
Well, you saw how Hockey Canada responded when the junior team, the under-20s, were lagging.
Yeah.
And they hit a bit of a divot and everybody was panicked that it wasn't Canada's game anymore. And that pressure clearly forced them to take apart their organization and reconsider it.
And for the Olympics, own the podium.
Right. And that's actually a really good point, too. That might be an even better point, because hockey, you figure these things are cyclical and there's no way Canada was going to drop off.
Yeah.
But when Canada focused on not blowing it in Vancouver and hosting the games and having no one get up there, you see what happens simply when pressure is exercised. But pressure also turns into resources. I wonder if the broader point is, with all that focus comes money. With money comes resources. With resources comes success. So it's not just the fact that you're more invested because you're afraid to get shamed. Everybody else is more invested with their dough, mm-hmm. and so you can actually get better.
But the United States spends so much money on soccer from the youth level on up. The money is there.
I don't know what the numbers are per capita, but I can't believe that the U.S. Soccer Federation spends the same way that England does or Italy does. I'm talking on a per capita basis, on a per child basis. I can't imagine that the same amount of money is spent on soccer there as it is here in North America. No way.
For the youth, it is $2,500 to $3,500 a year to play elite soccer. And a country of 350 million. And we always talk about how it's the number one sport, and you always hear that all the time.
Yeah, but not in America. It's not the number one sport.
No, in America.
You mean in terms of school participation.
And in terms of growing sport. They spend a lot of money, but there is no pressure. I mean, in like right now, all of America has turned to you know, to college football, Notre Dame taking on USC, the NFL, LeBron James's health. Like, these are the stories. And what goes on with soccer, and it's fine because it's only 24 hours in a day, it doesn't really get the attention that it would throughout a lot of Europe and in South America.
I mean, that's obviously true. And I'm not even disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that I think that without the resources, and I mean really deep resources, and we see this here in Canada, and I don't think the Canadian and the U.S. situation is similar. And I don't pretend to be an expert on this. I'm just speaking anecdotally what I read out of the sports section. But the Canadian soccer is a mess.
Yes.
Right. And that's been talked about for
On the men's side.
On the men's side.
The women's, by the way, the women's...
Important clarification.
Yes, the American women kick an ass. The Canadian women have certainly had more than their fair show of moments in the sun. It's, well, on the men's side.
There's an interesting point there too, right? And maybe one of the buried points here is that when you say soccer is a mess, as I just did, but you ignore how well the women do, that portrays a bias in our minds. That's tied into money. That the women's viewership will generate X number of viewers, but the men's will generate more. So yes. Once again, now pressure and attention is equated with cash. So in the end, you know, it's like the Trump investigation. Follow the money. You follow the money, you find the truth. That's probably true in every walk of life.
Yeah, but it still won't get him impeached.
We'll see.
Hey, well, like everything that's going on with Harvey Weinstein or went on with Bill O'Reilly,
yeah,
you know, a lot of it, there's some shades of that at old Donald Trump.
I don't know if it's shades. I mean, there's actually tape of him talking about how he likes to grow. So I don't know if it's like a, I don't think there's innuendo. I think there's actually evidence.
Yeah, well, by the way, Weinstein, like just so gross.
So gross.
And it's always hotel room, robe, and aggressively demanding a massage.
The weird thing is, if as a movie producer, if he was casting a guy to play him in a movie, he would pick him.
Yes, he would
because
be perfectly
he is
cast,
like the ultimate emblem of the kind of person that he's completely turned out to be.
Yes.
It's that's a creepy story.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an interesting take that you've got there about pressure, though, because here in Toronto, we have a unique perspective on that. For years, we were told free agents didn't want to come here because they didn't want to face the market.
Yes, pressure equals bad.
Right. And of course, that was only true when the teams were bad, because that pressure can also turn into encouragement and fun and the enjoyment. And, you know, you listen to the guys who played for that 93 team under Pat Burns, and they seem to have a different take on the concept of playing in the fishbowl of Toronto. So if the men's team had made the World Cup and they had some kind of decent run, all of a sudden what we would have described as pressure becomes an amplifier for success.
Yeah.
But that's what it is, right? They always say, don't take the stage unless you're a little nervous, because you just can't give your best.
Yeah. And I just thought it's interesting because we always attribute pressure to negative when it comes from fans or the media, just the whole broadcast complex. But this seemed to be a case where a lack of pressure actually hurt the men's American national soccer team.
I think it's always going to be tough for them when it's like when Canada puts together a team and goes to the World Baseball Classic. It's great, but we don't really care. But we put together a bunch of 17 and 18 year olds to go and play in the U20s, and these kids have, you know, the 600 magnification microscope on them. It's all about your priorities.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we care about things like that if Canada surprises and goes deep.
Can I make a sidebar observation?
Of course.
What this teaches me yet again is that eventually the United States will be the greatest hockey nation in the world, because eventually they're going to figure out that they want to be good at it. And in a place that big, like even the U.S. developmental programs now are churning out more good players than ever. The U.S. hockey college system is churning out more good players than ever. So I think it's only a matter of time. And I'm not saying 5 years, but 25, 30, 40 years down the road. Like now we're kind of at the point with the U.S. that Canada is starting to become at in basketball, where it's not weird.
Yeah.
We're behind them, obviously. It's just an analogy.
No, no,
it's
no.
It's not an equivalency.
The analogy makes sense. So, yes.
But it's not an equivalency. But I'm just saying, like, the idea that they'd be good. We're getting past the novelty of good U.S. players.
30 years from now, when the general manager of the U.S. hockey program, Austin Matthews, is in charge of it.
Honorary GM?
No, he's going to be like, you know, when Gretzky was in charge.
I don't know. Do you think he's got that Iserman gene in him? I don't think he does.
He does.
Or the Shanahan.
I don't want to hear any negative thing about the best player for the Maple Leafs all season, Austin Matthews.
All right. Fair enough. Speaking of which, shall we get into last night's Leafs takeaway?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. So here's my takeaway in one sentence. The worst losses are the ones you lose in exactly the way you expected to lose.
Mm-hmm.
things happen in sports. Sometimes bad teams beat good teams. Sometimes two good teams clash and something weird happens and you lose. But to me, the most, if you're a fan, the losses that hurt the most aren't the shocking ones. They're the ones that confirm that the holes you have in your roster are the holes you have in your roster. Yeah. That was kind of last night's loss.
Young defense, unproven defenseman.
So-so goaltending.
Yeah. It, well, to me, that last night was not about goaltending. It was about turnovers in the neutral zone. Cali Rosen with a brutal
giveaway.
Him and
Borgman, I don't know that we're going to be seeing that pairing.
Oh, on, I think one of those guys... Take a seat in the bench.
100%.
There's someone from the Marlies coming up for Saturday.
Call in the Uber for the Rico Coliseum right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's probably going to be Cali Rosen, I would expect. No, I'm not sure I agree with this. Jonas Siegel wrote a good piece about this, saying that, you know, you can't rip Anderson, but you also can't acclaim him as a true number one yet. And I tend to agree with Jonas on this. His save percentage this year is .871.
The same as it was last year in October.
Now, of course, he's going to get pounded with shots, but that's just what he's going to get. He had over 2,000 shots on goal last year.
Yes, he did.
But with this team in front of him, that's what he's going to face. And he's going to have to be the kind of goaltender that gets better when he gets more action. I was thinking about Roberto Luongo. Roberto Luongo, for whatever reason, like in these crazy shootout games, it's like he liked more rubber thrown at him. He rose to the challenge. It was the sleepy games where you could get a bad goal from him. And Anderson's just going to have to be that kind of goalie because he's going to have that workload. He's going to play 65 games at least, and he's going to see a ton of pucks. So last night, it was basically a goalie duel, and Corey Schneider outdueled Freddie Anderson.
Well, Corey Schneider was awesome.
He was awesome.
He was awesome. You know what? I'm not as worried about Frederick Anderson. I don't consider him elite. I consider him middle class.
He is.
He's a middle class goalie, and what the Leafs need is come the playoffs, he's got to punch a bit over his weight.
If this was a baseball rotation, he would be your third starter on a good team.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And by the way, the Phillies had a lot of number ones in their rotation, and they never won a World Series.
Not relevant, but nicely noted.
Thank you very much.
So I would say last night, I don't know that Anderson distinguished himself, and he hasn't really this year. Like, let's not forget that
he was great against Winnipeg.
And for one period, he was great. But then against New York, they let in 5, and last night they let in 6.
Yep.
So it's not like, you know, they were ready to lose against Chicago, and the offense pulled out a miracle. So even though Chicago didn't put up big numbers, this isn't a Leafs panic thing. I'm just saying that the worst losses are the ones where the holes you know you have contribute to the loss. The fourth line wasn't great.
Nope.
The third defensive pairing wasn't great.
Yep.
The goalie didn't stand on his head, and the other goalie did. These are all the ways the Leafs will lose this year.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, that's how a lot of teams will lose. Hot goaltender and your bottom part of your roster underperforms. Here's some positives. They forced 8 penalties for the Devils. That shows your athleticism, your talent, when you get 8 power play opportunities. And they had 50 shots at Schneider. That is, you know, as a loss goes, and listen, that was an ugly loss. And when they got scored on 5-on-3, I'm like, what the bleep? Like, something that hasn't happened in like 7 years. Ironically, Tyler Bozak scored on a 3-on-5. You know, so it was an ugly game, but there were some very gleaming silver linings in it as well.
I don't know if there were very gleaming silver
50
linings.
50 shots, like, and you force 8 penalties. Those that's great.
Yeah, but at the same time, your first line was less than spectacular.
Like, Matthews was great. Matthews was
Nylander
fantastic.
Didn't have his best night. Jake Gardner is probably your best defenseman.
Ooh, Jake Gardner had a bad night.
And he didn't have a great night.
He was
so
stinky.
But I look at those and I'm going to say, okay, over the course of the year, I expect Jake Gardner to contribute to more wins than losses.
Yes.
And I would expect Nylander to contribute to more wins than losses. But those other things I pointed out, I think there's still bubble issues.
Yep, there are.
And when you score, when you're scoring 5, 6, 7 goals a night, as the Leafs have over the first 4 games, you paper over a lot of those things. The New York Rangers game was the ultimate, that was fun, let's pretend that didn't happen kind of game. Last night was the flip side to that, which is, here's what happens when we don't win one of those kinds of games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we better get used to it. Oh, yeah. That's this team.
There is going to be 5 to 7 more losses like that. You know, just get used to it.
By the way, do you think Babcock secretly is licking his chops right now that he gets to go out and be the taskmaster?
Yeah, of course.
Because he had, like, what were you going to say when your team's putting up 6 goals a night? What were you going to say?
Yeah.
But now he can sit there and talk about it. First thing he did in his presser, work. Outwork tonight.
Yeah.
Lost stick battles.
Yeah.
Outskated. It all came back to work. And so, you know, like, this was for him. Honestly, someone gave him a blank check to write a bag skate in.
My favorite was Babcock snap, and the team didn't have enough snap or juice. That's what he said in the press. I'm like, huh? We had fun with that today.
Is that a Saskatchewan thing today?
I don't know.
Now, what is the difference between snap and juice? I guess snap would be quick, like a snap reaction.
I don't
quick
know.
On the puck. Whereas juice would be like your motor, your engine.
I just had 30 penis jokes in my head the entire time.
Snap and juice. And,
you know, when you hit over 40, you sometimes have less snap and juice than when you did when
it's
you're
not
your late
fair
teens.
For Patrick Marleau to be expected to have snap and juice.
It's funny. It seemed that Marner has got lots of snap and juice, and after he's used his snap and juice, he has a new ready supply of snap and juice at a moment's notice.
Right. Well, but you know what? Short shifts, though. That's the key, right? All your shifts are 45 seconds and under.
Sexual double entendres.
I'm glad your dad's not listening.
Yeah, that's true.
He expects better of us.
Yeah, I'll say this, and I was yelling about this on air today. I love all the penalties. I love them.
No.
Love them, love them, love them, Bob.
What's the love?
Short-term pain for long-term gain. This year, much like last year, first little bit, lots of penalties being called. You know what it also means? There are more goals. We're over 6 goals per game. Then what happens late in the year? Stop calling penalties, fewer goals. I believe that if you do it right, the first couple months will stink. But if you keep hammering it over and over and over again, eventually these athletes, the greatest athletes in the world for their sport, will adjust because they're smart enough and they're physically capable of doing it and will eventually lead to down the road long-term gain when we consistently get 6-plus goals a game.
But it's like playing with cheat codes, though. And the reason why I don't go with you on this one is because you know what sport I love?
Mm.
Hockey.
Yeah.
And I like to watch it played 5-on-5 because that's where two teams that are equally matched go head-to-head.
Uh-huh.
Now, I understand why you have penalties, but when penalties take over the game, you don't play that 5-on-5 hockey.
Agreed.
Which is really where you get flow
yes.
and transition. And the most exciting thing about hockey is the transition game.
Yes, the back and forth.
It's the number one thing this game has going for it. You feel it more live than you do on television, but the idea that you're going incredibly fast in one direction, and within 2 seconds, you can be moving incredibly fast in the other.
Bob, I don't...
And you don't get that.
I agree with everything you said.
5-on-4.
Yes, I agree with everything you said. I'm okay with a bunch of months where what you're talking about disappears. If it leads to a larger structural change where there are fewer hooking and hacking penalties, where coaches and players have to adjust.
So this
much
is,
like in the NFL,
yeah, I was gonna say,
where there's fewer cheap shots to wide.
So you're saying it's like going back to the mid-90s where you decide you're going to call obstruction, and so you get your couple months of pain, but eventually...
Yes.
Okay, in that regard, yes.
That's what I mean.
I don't necessarily disagree with you there, but last night's game was not enjoyable.
No, it wasn't.
And it's large part, like, you know what's weird about the Leafs? You know what their secret weapon is? Mm. 5-on-5.
Oh, yeah.
I know that they've got their powerful power play and all, but just when we talk about the even strength numbers that those lines can put up, it's weird to think that regular normal play is what the Leafs secretly do best.
Yes.
It's almost like the league has woken up and said, remember how there used to be talk about they can't win in the playoffs, their power play is no good. That used to be the number one thing you'd say. You'd look at special teams and say, I don't like this team because they don't got the power play. And now everybody's, you know, 5-on-5. 5-on-5 is where you win the games and just don't take dummy penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And that's over a course of a season where these things bear out, you know, statistically just over time, right?
You know what I hate, Bob?
Hmm.
If my day
discussing what bears out statistically over time?
No. Going to the gym for 2 hours and avoiding all grain, sugar, and alcohol. Now, if I do that for a bunch of months, I can lose a lot of weight. I did it before my hernia surgery. Well, that's what I consider with all these penalties and these crappy games. I hate it. But if it leads to 20 pounds loss of body fat, I'm fine with it. I'm even fine with it with a whole year of 13 penalty games. If it means afterwards, for the next 3 to 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, we have games where we have 6.5 goals per game. I am fine with that level of pain if it leads to a fundamental shift in the way the game's coached.
6.5 goals where the majority of them are scored at even strength.
Yes.
Ding,
okay,
because that's the important qualifier.
Yes, 100% that qualifier.
Speaking of pain, I feel so bad for whoever that Flyers video coach is who called, who had the challenge that went on the offside that ultimately didn't go through and Nashville wound up scoring and winning the game. I flipped on, it's weird. I thought I didn't have the center ice package, and apparently I do.
Apparently you do. If you're now talking about Flyers and Predators highlights,
no, but
you've got the package.
I almost don't want to say this in public because I canceled the package over the summer. And somehow it doesn't seem to be gone.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you meticulously checking your bill, or is there a charge there and you haven't noticed?
Well, as you know, the bills are always a little hard to read. You know, you get that big block number. Yeah. There really isn't an itemized list.
Yeah.
You know, they don't roll back a budget to you.
No.
But I'm just going to go with the idea that
I'm getting
free center ice. Yeah. Because now every time I watch the Red Wings and the Stars third period, I feel like I'm stealing it.
Yeah.
And money found is always better than money earned.
Oh, 100%. It's so weird. It's like if I did a job and someone gave me $50, great. But then if I forget I got a 50 and then I found it in my jeans 3 weeks later, I'm like, I feel like I'm gaming the system.
We're coming up to free money season because all of our winter clothes are about to get rolled out. And one of the best things about that is you check your pockets and there's always a tenner in there somewhere.
Somewhere.
And you got to spend. Here's my life advice to you, dear listener of Macko and Cause podcast. Spend it on something stupid.
Yes.
If the universe bonuses you some cash, unless you really desperately need it, then who am I to say? But if you can spend it on something dumb,
yes,
please do.
Absolutely. Great advice.
4 packs of Big League Chew and just sit there and chew gum in your basement for 3 straight hours. Speaking of 3 straight, by the way, this late night hockey for me has become essential because my involvement in the parent council.
I wanted to get to that. What's going on this week with you and the school?
I sat there watching Philadelphia and Nashville just telling the world, you're going to kiss my butt. I'm just going to sit down here and have a little me time. It's insanely busy. I had 2 meetings on Tuesday, another meeting last night, and now I'm fielding emails that are the follow-up to last night's meeting. I sent like... And yeah, I got real mad at the meeting.
Yeah.
Like, because I was just frustrated by all the chatter. And someone's like, we need a committee to do this. And you know what? I put up my hand. I said, fine, I'll lead it. So now I've signed up for an extra committee.
Wait, what committee is it? What's the name? What's this committee for?
This one is a special committee to investigate the proper expenditure of arts funding through the parent council monies.
Oh, my God.
So I've got to canvass the student, the parents, the teachers, educators, and figure out the best way to... Now, look, I actually find this stuff interesting. And I'm always amazed by how smart the people in these meetings are. And I guess it's because about their kids, and kids become like HAL 9000. Mm-hmm. Parents become HAL 9000. When it's about their kids.
What are you doing, Bob?
Seriously, what am I doing? But no.
So if you don't spend the money right, you're gonna get ejected out of the spaceship.
Which would be great. Yeah. I'm gonna like Dave, I'm just gonna be floating off into the distance.
Daisy. For what I can really get on the 2001 there.
Oh, that's a deep dive for sure.
Thank you.
So I will say that I'm kind of inspired in some ways by the people who go there because they're really, really into their kids.
How many hours do you think you're spending now on school stuff?
A week?
Yeah.
I'm going to say between 8 and 12.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. When you actually fold it into your already busy life, because that's just added on to what already exists.
Yeah.
None of the other stuff went away. But it's been really interesting. You meet a lot of really cool people. Like, not cool in the way, like, you know, Miles Davis cool. It's not that kind of thing.
Like, yeah, it's not like you just peed your pants kind of cool.
Exactly. So if you have kids, here's what I now know about you. You are way more complex than you let on. Mm. Once you have kids, you kind of have to, like, show the world that you're responsible and stuff. But when you get to know people, they're still as messed up as they were as teenagers.
Of course. They just
I had no idea.
A show. Oh, yeah.
I was always fooled by the show. But apparently, everybody is just as into weed and metal and doing stupid stuff as they always were.
It's definitely the realizations, because when you're a kid, you're like, look at those adults. They're all professional and smart. They know what's going on. They don't screw around. And then you become an adult, and you're like, oh my God, why is everyone still acting like a child?
I think I learned that. So yeah, and I got scolded at one of these meetings.
What'd you do?
For going too far off the agenda.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the scolding like? Was it shameful words?
It was kind of...
Was it condescending?
It was a bit more like, when you were in school and the teacher would say to you, now don't do that, because if we're going to do that, then we're going to have to, you know, miss recess.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of slow and measured, I'm going to say this so you get it kind of thing. Cause you've been in enough meetings with me to know, what do I like to do? I like to be quiet for 3 minutes and then tell everyone what's going to happen.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Right. I pretend to be listening. Mm-hmm.
That's an important skill.
Yeah, probably 3 to 5 minutes.
Make some eye contact. Every 30 seconds, nod your head.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when I've decided I've had enough, I try to take the whole thing over.
Yep.
That is my failing as a human being. I admit it freely here. This is a good educational process.
This is. Do you want to get to listener questions?
Yeah, sure. I think now's the time.
We got listener questions. We got our top five. We got Leafs and Six all coming up on the show.
Well, should we just do Leafs and Six now because we're getting off Leafs talk? No, we'll come back to it later.
We'll come back. We'll come back to it.
I've learned from my parent council. Mm-hmm. You drive the bus.
Sure. Buffalo Phil wrote in a ton of questions. Can't get to all because I want to get from others. But I always like this one. Biggest misconception about producing on Off the Record.
Okay, so Kaz and I both worked behind the scenes on Off the Record for the first, give or take, 10 years of the show's existence.
Yeah, I was 2000 to 2007. That was my run.
And I was 98 to 2005.
Yeah.
And I would say the biggest misconception was that Landsberg was a jerk. Yep. In the end, it always comes back to that, because Landsberg was an incredibly great guy to work with. And really generous. Like, he'd often take the crew out for meals. And back in the day, he had a stake in an event theater, which the Capitol awesome. Event Theater, which was awesome. As he said, look, you guys drink here for free. So there we were in our 20s, and we would go to Landsberg's digs.
Yeah.
And drink.
Yeah.
We'd prime before we'd go out and paint.
Yeah.
That was pretty spectacular. No, Landsberg's a beaut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you think that's it?
Oh, yeah. 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 No. Number one. TV also not as glamorous. Oh, look at the celebrities. It's never as glamorous because oftentimes there's a bunch of PR people and the celebrity doesn't know where they are, what interview they're doing. TV's not as glamorous as you think. And Michael Landsberg is much more down to earth. The only time I ever saw him angry was when we tried to do, we did like a theme week, and one of them was going to be everyone dress up in Michael's clothes, and he was not happy. And I walked into the office strutting with one of his shirts on and just looked at me. He's like, take it off. I'm like, Michael, check it. And he's like, take it off.
But he's
like,
really weird about his personal space. Like, he's one of those people that doesn't like to be touched. Mm-hmm. Like, if you say hi to him, you don't like pat his arm because I think that weirds him out. He's a personal space guy.
Yeah.
Like, even about his name. Like, he doesn't like to be called Mike.
Oh, yeah.
He's got his thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to laugh that he would drink all of his meals because he was into his protein shakes.
Yeah.
And he was obsessed about his weight. I'll never forget when Dr. Ho came out with that electronic device. Remember the thing that would...
Yeah, the Abtronic.
Yeah, the Abtronic.
That would shoot electric shockwaves
right. And it would make your muscles tense up.
Yeah.
And I guess the idea was you were toning your body by doing that.
Yeah, he wore that.
So he would sit there for an hour and a half to 2 hours while we were working on the show with his belly flexing. By Dr. Ho was giving him a workover.
Yeah, that lasted about 2 weeks.
Well, because it hurt.
Yeah.
He's like, why don't you try this? I'm like, dude, this is like, I think the Geneva Convention banned this.
Yeah, I think all of them are now in North Korea. I
mean, there's you and Dick Cheney are the only two people in North America who think this is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Let's see, moving on. At Da Real Bigfoot wrote in, help, since Game of Thrones ended, haven't found a good TV show to watch. Any recommendations?
Whew, I'm a bit off TV right now, and I'm kind of disappointed in season 4 of BoJack Horseman. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to say BoJack season 4, but I'm 2 episodes in, and I don't love it the way I did the first 3.
Okay.
So I will say this. This is probably the best I can offer you, Da Real Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. The Defenders is not as bad as Iron Fist.
Okay.
If you love the TV shows and the comic book Marvel stuff, then The Defenders is actually pretty good. It's not awesome, but there's a lot of Daredevil and a lot of Elektra, and that's a great storyline. So I would say if you like that stuff, it's safe. It's safe ground for you.
I'm going to go Veep. It is still go and just power through Veep. They're going to be doing one more season of it. It is comedy cheesecake. Just every minute there, it's thick with jokes. I'm going to go Veep.
That is such a cop-out answer. That's Why? Like saying, you know what's a great band to check out? Mm. The Rolling Stones.
I don't watch
Veep's been on for 8 seasons.
I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't. There's only a
couple
shows.
Well, then maybe you say something like, I don't know, I don't watch a lot of TV.
Okay, I don't watch a lot of TV because Bob didn't like my answer.
Well, it was a cheap answer.
That's all I got.
I know, but
Veep's a great show.
Look, I watch tons of TV, and I prefaced it by saying, you know, I take this with a grain of salt. You walked in with a bucket of salt.
You know, yeah, salt's good. Okay, I don't know why. So
apparently, so is Veep.
Yes.
So try out this exciting new spice, according to Matt Kaz. Salt. It's really good on your meals.
You know what? It's funny. It's like there almost has to be a game. What is the thing that Bob gets angry at Matt about? I really didn't expect it to be Veep. I got to tell you, I figured it's going to be my top 5 Star Wars characters.
Okay, look, I'm not going to complain about being driven around by Matt because that would be pretty arrogant of me.
Yeah.
And a little ungrateful.
Yeah.
But Kaz has like five old cassettes in his car that he listens to.
Yeah.
And to Kaz, that's music.
Yeah.
So he says, yeah, I like music. What he means is my five tapes.
Yeah.
Arcade Fire, Three by the Stones.
Yep.
And
some Paul Simon, some David Bowie, some Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, you like Bob to mix Dylan. It up, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big music guy.
Throwing a little spice, like some salt in there. Some
Paul Simon. Maybe a little Def Cab for Cutie, you know, a little Postal Service. But no, I'm not a big music guy. And it's the same thing with TV.
It's funny because you're the opposite with wine, right?
Yeah.
Like you wish you could try a different wine every day.
Exactly. I'm more of a movie guy than I'm a TV show guy.
Fair enough.
So okay, moving on.
Is that your girlfriend calling?
Actually, it's my dad calling me.
Maybe he is listening to this podcast and saying, getting on with it, guys.
There's so much going on my phone. Next question, from Alex. If the guys from the A-Team were Green Berets before their show, why did they never hit anyone while shooting? It's so true.
Great question.
And I wrote back, I felt so sorry for the dirt. Because the dirt around every either evil guy or around the A-Team, because the villains couldn't shoot either. It's like the henchmen in James Bond movies. The worst shots out there.
There needs to be an anti-dirt defamation league that looks into that. Yeah. The other thing is corrugated metal. You do not want to be a sheet of corrugated metal when the A-Team is around, because you will be built into a tank.
Yeah.
And you will be shot.
At the 44-minute mark of every A-Team, there was always welding. Always welding.
Yeah. 100%. So, and there's two reasons for that, because dirt indicates a miss.
Yep.
And on corrugated metal, you can have sparks.
Yeah.
So it indicates a miss. Otherwise, you just hear sound.
Yeah.
So that's the director's trick.
Yeah. Maddie writes in at Matt Beardley, if Wile E. Coyote had enough money to buy all of that acne stuff, why didn't he just buy dinner?
Such a great question.
I think it's because it wasn't about the destination. It was about the journey. And it's like, I want to eat that. It's like, I can have all these other things, but I want that one specific
Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah, the
Roadrunner.
The Roadrunner. I want to have that piece of fowl.
So, Matt, I can answer you this way with an example from my life.
Okay.
Why did I join that committee yesterday?
Mm.
When I knew it was a bad idea? Because in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah.
I'm this close now. He invested so much. We've all done this. We've all taken on projects. And you say, hey, I spent a ton of dough and I refuse to let this thing go. Actually, in business, they call it throwing good money after bad.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is what Wile E. Coyote is doing. He is throwing good Acme resources after bad.
Do you want one more question?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. Just going through the list here.
Somebody tweeted in, and I know this.
Are the ketchup chips one?
No. Are the Sixers going to make the playoffs? And I think that's an interesting question.
No.
See, I think yes.
Ooh.
Just because there's so much young talent there, even if two of them take a step forward. If Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid play to capacity to their potential, in the East, they're going to make the playoffs.
Actually, I guess they can. Every great player from the East is now in the West anyway. So
the Knicks got worse.
Yeah.
Brooklyn's a disaster. They play in the Atlantic. That's a lot of games against a couple bad teams.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah, it's just every superstar is no longer.
Indiana's dropped off.
Yeah, Indiana's dropped off. Bulls have dropped off.
So there's just a lot of bad teams in the East. So, yeah, I think they are. And that's not necessarily an indication that the
76ers are good. It's just how
what's
bad.
The Sam Hinkie thing called again? The process. Thank you. Yeah. It's not an indication that necessarily the process is the only way to go. It does indicate that the gap between the rich and the poor in the NBA, pretty wide.
Yeah, it is. And as Stephen Hillis, I don't like ketchup chips. I know it's a controversy. I don't like ketchup chips of any kind.
Okay, so what was the question?
Are you a ketchup chip guy or natural chip dipped in ketchup guy?
Well, first of all, natural chip dipped in ketchup sounds terrible.
Yes.
Right, because it would get soggy.
Yeah.
So, and ketchup and no.
Nope.
But ketchup chips got me through school. Like, without ketchup chips, I'm not sure I would have finished grade 6. And you could always tell a kid who loved his ketchup chips by what, Maddie? The red stained fingers.
Ooh, yeah.
Because nothing left your fingers stained quite like a bag of Hostess ketchup chips.
Mm-hmm.
It was like you stole an ATM and they had that ink blow up on you that you can't get rid of, that dye.
Yeah.
It was the schoolyard equivalent of that. Actually, it'd be a good way to find out if anyone scoffed your chips, because you could just do like a finger check and you would know. Like you voted in Iraq, you just get the dots on your fingers.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, well, there was always an indication. Do you remember all the pictures when they voted in Iraq?
Oh, okay.
And they had the purple thumbs to indicate that they'd already voted?
You know what? They did that in an episode of Veep. where Julius Dreyfus went to go oversee the election of some crooked Eastern European nation.
Good show.
Really good show.
Good show. And the Arcade Fire, good band.
Really good band.
Yeah, Stones, terrific. Check them out. Hey, if you guys want to check out this really great record, Exile on Main Street.
It's so good.
So good.
Absolutely.
Top to bottom.
Yep.
All right, what do you want to do here? You want to do my Yankees takeaway? We should get to the Star Wars.
Okay.
Although maybe should we do some sports before we do?
Yeah. Okay. We'll do some sports. Do you want to do Leafs and Six, or do you want to do your Yankees takeaway?
No. Let's. Well, we can combine the two of them. Let's do Leafs and Six just to make sure we get it in.
Yeah.
Okay. So last night's loss, 6-3, first one of the season, pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Do you want to lead off, buddy?
I got my two. One I stole from James Myrtle. One is mine. 81-1, still in play.
Okay, that's a good one.
And Leafs bid for undefeated season ends.
Okay.
So those are my two Leafs and Six. By the way, Bob, if they go, I think, 50-18 the rest of the way, they'll beat the Red Wings record for most wins in a regular season.
Okay.
So 50-18 is what they got to go.
So is that the magic number? We should write that down.
Yeah.
There should be the drive for 50. What is it? 51?
Well, it's 62 wins the Red Wings got. So
right.
They got three right now. They need 50.
So shouldn't
more
it be
wins.
60 then? And what about overtime wins? Do
there
they count?
No overtime. Let me recheck the standings. Just
you know,
go,
the era of the 3-point game, are all wins created equal?
Yeah, sorry, 60. They just got to win 60 more wins.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my Leafs in six words while Matt takes a fire extinguisher and douses his burning mind right now. Wait a minute. New Jersey is still undefeated?
Yeah.
The only team in the East right now that's undefeated.
A bunch of guys I've never heard of.
So true. And when you're making Nico Hischier just sound like the second coming of Austin Matthews. Actually, they did a really good job of, it's funny, I was listening to all the broadcasters. No, he's not going to be like that. He's not going to be that kind of player. He's not a McDavid. And I thought, man, this poor kid, he gets into the league after these three incredibly rich drafts at the top. And all anybody can talk about is how you're not like that.
Yeah, I know. It's so true. It's like,
and he's Swiss.
Yeah.
Strike two.
Just let me play. Yeah, I mean, Nico Hirsch.
Hischier,
exactly. Corey Schneider and Taylor Hall. After that, if you said, hey, how many Devils can you name? I'm like, I would have got Adam Henrique.
Adam Henrique.
After that, I'm like, I'm out. I'm done.
So, cash now. Yeah. Moore versus Fair, it is on.
Mm-hmm.
The battle for that fourth line center spot, it is on. Too soon for panic. Noticing, however, .. I believe that panic after four games is ridiculous, but to go back to my takeaway, you can notice things about the team that could evolve into problems.
Yes.
The ghost of Pat Quinn lives. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of 6-5 games this year.
Good.
And the Blue Dragon was vanquished yesterday.
Ooh.
Going back, callback to naming the offense.
I'm still going with the wave. Marco G writes in, pond hockey doesn't win hockey games. Shut up, Marco G. I love pond hockey. Let's keep it alive and well. Jess Knox, who works for Halperin Wine, tasty stuff, wrote in, 5-on-3, woe is me.
Good one.
Yes.
That's the one of the day so far.
Good job, Jess. Rob Paul, defense fled for red light Fred.
No, that's the one of the day.
Joe.
That's actually really good.
They're both good. Joe writes in, parade down Young Street or Bay. I go, let's go Young Street. It's got to be Young Street.
It's got to be Bay. Come on. History.
Yeah, but Bay's got the weird twist and stuff. Like, just...
Yeah, but it's a Bay Street team, buddy boy.
Yeah, no, that is true.
I guess it's not really history. If you wanted history, it would be Young Street because of the gardens.
Yeah, or Carlton.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm going Young.
Scarborough Ting wrote in, furious. I stayed up for that.
Don't worry, they'll score plenty.
They will. Yeah,
that'll be lots of fun.
And Ted Nesbitt, blow it up, start the rebuild, which I think is a little bit of sarcasm there. So so there's some of the Leafs and Six that we got.
All right, so we'll get to our. How much time do we have for our incredibly contentious top fives and
Star Wars? We have got about 15 minutes.
Okay, left. So I'll just do a quick Yankees takeaway because the last thing is gonna really. Yeah. Go on forever. Yesterday was a day that marked something new in MLB.
Mm-hmm.
That was my takeaway.
Okay.
First of all, these MLB playoffs have been great.
Yes.
You know, never mind the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. That was a pretty boring series. They cleaned up fast. But the Yankees coming back and, you know, the Nats and the Cubs are going to five. That is fun stuff. But these Yankees, if you're a Jays fan, this should be pretty terrifying. I don't want to use the word core four. You know, Jeter, Pettit, Posada, and Rivera. I don't want to say that. But Sanchez and Greg Bird and Aaron Judge.
And Didi.
And Didi. You know, Didi's kind of like the and sometimes why. He's like the Bernie Williams of the gang. Mm-hmm. He was great yesterday. But they are building something, and teams like the Yankees are always scary when they can build through their organization because, you know, like salt, they can be an incredible spice that you bring in.
Yes.
At the end,
salt,
right?
Salt also makes things last for a long
time. For a long time.
Time.
Yeah, nicely done.
Salt.
Curing it.
Yeah, exactly.
With salt. And Bryce Harper is going to be the salt. Maybe it's Manny Machado. I don't know. But Bryce Harper is going to be the salt. And then all of a sudden, you've got that group of young players and Bryce Harper, and they're developing arms in the farm system. Couldn't you just feel last night, like, even with Girardi's gaffe earlier in the season?
In game two.
Yeah, like this team looks ready to be good for a long time.
They do. And what's a shame is even though they, you know, again, left the playoffs early, the Red Sox have a lot of young players as well at a variety of positions in the infield and outfield.
It's going to be a lot of MLB. When you get to the divisional series and above, it's going to be a lot of American League East representation. It's just going to be really hard for the Jays to crack through that. They got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
I know some people are optimistic and already say, hey, we can make the playoffs by next year. Maybe in a vacuum. But everybody else is going to try to get better, too. And they have resources.
I thought the most...
It's the old story.
Yeah.
For how many years were the Jays the third best team in the AL East? For like 15 years in
yes.
a row?
Yeah, from like
literally
95
literally.
To 2015.
Literally the third best team. And often a really good team.
But it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. And I'd hate to think that we're going back to that. But man, those Yankees look good. Brett Gardner's at bat was amazing. The other thing is I got a question for you. I know that you have a... almost pathological distaste for the Jordan flu game.
Yeah.
Right? You
he
think
lied.
That, you think what that he lied and he was phony.
Oh, look at me, a hero.
Right.
Oh, I got the sniffle. Now I'm going to go play some basketball.
Right.
Get out
so,
of here.
So while most of the sane free world would disagree with you, that is your take. So in that spirit, Steven Strasburg last night against your Cubs.
My Cubs?
Well, they're kind of your Cubs.
No, my dad likes the Cubs. I actually am more interested in the Nationals just because I listen to Tony Kornheiser.
So, but for years, you told me the Cubs were your National League team.
I never said that. I just make him bleep up.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
I
not
never
true.
Said that.
Yeah, and Notre Dame is your second favorite college football team.
Yes, Notre Dame's my second favorite. Florida Gators are my favorite.
Okay, well, maybe yeah. I am just making it up. But yeah. Can we now call, so 7 shutout innings, 3 hits, strikes out 12, mm-hmm. and wasn't going to play because of what was like the sniffles or arguably reaction to mold.
Mm-hmm.
So can we now call this the mold game?
Yes.
In the spirit absolutely. Of the flu game?
Yeah, and listen, there's a reason Steven Strasburg has the nickname the Orchid, because everything has to be just right for him, it seems. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was just bad messaging from the Nationals. That was weird. That was really strange, and Strasburg dominated. And if he didn't, whew, there would have been a lot of bleep raining down on him.
Remember when the Nats came to play at the Dome for the first time as part of Interleague, and I watched Steven Strasburg pitch?
Yeah.
Cebulski and I went mm-hmm. because it was an afternoon game,
yep.
and then we had the 4 o'clock show. That was back when we used to do 4 to 7s on TSM. And so we went for the first 5 innings and watched Strasburg pitch. And you know those rare moments in your life where you go and watch a game and you'll never forget that athlete's performance?
Yep.
He looked so good. Just you could hear the air burning around his fastball. And then he'd pull the string on the old Uncle Charlie.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. So I have this personal investment in Steven Strasburg just because it's so rare you see someone and they just amaze you with your talent.
Hey, man, I'd love to see the Nats win and see Strasburg versus Kershaw.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That would be tough for me because I'm a Dodgers guy. Yeah. Actually, it wouldn't. I just Kershaw.
Just for the, yeah.
And we got the Kershaw 25.
Yes, we
do. Which we'll have to continue to watch.
Doing well before.
All right. So we've been
let's get
we've
to
been
it.
Delaying
top
the gratification.
In honor of the new Star Wars trailer, our top 5 Star Wars characters. And you know what? I got 2 lists. I got the obvious list. I'm just going to bang out. And then I got sort of my other top 5 where I try to be a little bit different.
Now, I will say the idea of 2 lists is totally a cheat.
Of course it is.
Because what makes it tough is the idea of top 5, right? Like
I
if
know.
You were to make a list of my 30 favorite Star Wars characters, not that compelling.
Yes, it is because number 30, I feel bad at number 31
yeah.
should have been at 27.
But let's say the stakes are diminished a little bit. Like,
okay,
I agree. Who's not making the cut into your top 30?
Okay, I agree.
Here's Matt's 10 top 5s.
Yeah. Okay, first off, let's just get the top 5 obvious ones that have to be there. Number 5, Lando. Number 4, Luke Skywalker. By the way, I think my favorite Luke Skywalker moment, I loved his brashness in Return of the Jedi when he purposely let himself be captured and he's walking down the hallway and he's just calling Darth Vader father. Like, he's just like, yes, father. He's like, I know it, you know it. And Darth's like, hey, listen, son, shut up. Don't call me that. Don't call me that in front of the other employees. I think it's my secretly favorite Luke Skywalker moment.
Okay, so wait a minute. I want to write this down because you said it kind of quickly. So Lando,
at
Luke.
At five, Luke. Number three, Princess Leia. By the way, Bob, how sad were you in the preview when you saw her for the new movie, for The Last Jedi, when you know she's going to get blown up, and just seeing the shot of Carrie Fisher, who died way too young? I was just lump in throat when I saw that.
Tough one. Still, like I said, I'm operating in the shadow of that trailer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two, Darth Vader. No character goes through more of a character development than him. Plus, he gets to be badass again in Rogue One. His appearance in the last 3 to 4 minutes of Rogue One, oh my God, like just that is can ass kicking. And number one, it's Han Solo. There's no hipster pick. It's Han Solo. I love you. I know.
All right. So, first of all, Leia Organa didn't make the cut for me into the top five because Rey is looking so good as a character.
She's looking great.
And as I said, I would make one last minute change based on the viewing of the trailer.
Yeah.
Because her journey is going to be so much more interesting than Luke's was or I guess, you know, because the first, like the three movies, the 1 through 3, they were so bad that Darth's turn to the dark side wasn't as interesting as it could be.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to learn from the mistakes there, and it's going to be like between her and Kylo Ren, that's going to be something. So even on just the promise of it, I'm going to put Rey at my number five.
Okay.
Number four is Kylo Ren. Killed his dad. You can already see, like, Adam Driver is so good.
I don't like him. I think he's an impetuous kid.
No, but that's what makes him, that's what the evil of the Force is, isn't it? Is that you don't have the power to control your own power.
Yeah, okay.
He is so good. You just don't like him because he killed Han.
No, well, that's part of it.
And because he was in Girls.
Never even seen Girls. But no, I don't know. I found him this whiny character. He didn't seem evil personified. Darth Vader, that's evil.
Wait a minute, but he's young. He's growing into it. This is the beginning of his journey.
He's a whiny millennial. Oh, yeah. Why am I not ahead of everything already?
So,
shut up.
The fact that he is so flawed, the fact that he gets stymied by Rey, and Rey is obviously going to be more powerful than him.
Yeah.
Because of his lineage, because of Rey's as yet undetermined lineage. It feels like they could be brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, cousins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're totally missing the boat on Kylo Ren. Like, they are going to build around him for the next two movies, and it's going to be fantastic.
Well, hey, listen, I hope I'm wrong. I was not engaged with him in the last movie.
Yoda deserves to be in the top five.
Yep.
Because he is the George Lucas character who basically explains all the hocus pocus that goes behind.
Number three, I am.
Love it. And besides, like, even though it's not super well done, the battle at the end of number three with Yoda and the Sith Lord,
yeah,
is pretty great. Like, yeah, when you see, he looks like a tiny little pumpernickel with a green pumpernickel with a lightsaber just flying around. It's pretty good.
Like carbohydrates.
Han Solo is number two. And I say that simply because you have to make Darth Vader number one.
That's fair.
And those two are the best, but I would flip them. I think Han Solo is more fun.
Yes.
He is, of course, really fun. But if you want a developed character,
yeah.
Han's not really a developed character. He's just he's almost like a second banana that's so good at it, he feels like the star. But the journey of Star Wars is Darth Vader's story.
Yes.
It feels like it's Luke's, but it's not. It's Darth's.
Well, no, because, you know, you have the pathos in Return of the Jedi. You have the crazy reveal in Empire. You have just the menacing character in Star Wars. And you've got Rogue One.
Well, also you forget the first three movies, which for a whole generation is how they were introduced to Star Wars. And that is literally Darth Vader's story, starting as Anakin and going through. So what you've got is the beginning, the fall, and the redemption.
Yes.
And now you've got the progeny.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well,
there you
go. That's fine. I'm not going to argue.
All right. So we're not really debating there. But now what's your alternate five?
Here's my alternate top five.
Can we just call this a separate list and say top five not main characters?
Yeah. Top five not main characters. At number five, the worm that tried to eat the Millennium Falcon in Empire Strikes Back.
Good one.
When they shoot the ground.
So good.
And it starts moving and it's closing. Like, just, I loved like that one. Like, those couple scenes were fantastic. At number four, AT-ATs. Just seeing those snowwalkers, just so so menacing. At number three, a tag team of Jabba the Hutt and Salacious Crumb. I love Jabba the Hutt. And the little creature, you know, was so much fun in Return of the Jedi.
Kick.
Yeah. At number two, Boba Fett. So cool, but his comic relief death knocks him out of number one. And the number one, this one's my real hipster pick. You've seen Rogue One, right?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay, then I can't.
I'm sorry. It's like it's hard to
How
believe.
How have
you
but not seen Rogue One?
It's just I never have seen it.
So you don't know what I'm talking about Darth Vader's badass scene in Rogue One?
No.
Oh my God.
And it's weird because you know I love Star Wars. I mean, I think that's obvious
it's
from the conversation.
It's on TV. I think it's even on demand.
I was too busy watching The Defenders. No, really, I haven't. Here's my thing. If I don't see these kinds of movies in the theater, I try not to watch them at home because they're meant to be watched in the theater. So I'm waiting for it to get... I'm waiting to see it in an environment where it's not on a smaller screen.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know. I feel like, you know, if I was you, I'd be ripping you for you ripping me for Veep. I can't believe you haven't seen Rogue One. It is so good. Bob, see Rogue One. You know, skip a teacher parent. Just go, we're going to give all our money to drawing. There, everyone gets to draw. Now, if you excuse me, I need 2 hours and 10 minutes because I got to get myself a little Rogue One.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of dropped the ball in this one.
You really
I really should have seen it by now. What can I say, though, bud? Like, I blew it. I feel shame. I go to the box and I feel shame.
All right. Well, that's it.
I would like to add to that list,
yeah.
Since R2-D2 mm-hmm. is a great character.
Great character.
And probably the precursor to WALL-E, mm-hmm. the idea of the silent star.
Yep.
And since I loved your pick about the monster that lunges after the Millennium Falcon, how about the Tauntaun that Luke splits open and sleeps inside?
If Han Solo splits it open, it's Luke that sleeps in it. Ah.
And
I thought it smelled bad on the outside. And then he puts Luke Skywalker in it. But Han Solo grabs the lightsaber to open it up.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Nope, you're right. Man, I've really dropped the Star Wars ball here.
There's a lot of nerd rage going on right now.
Well, and deservedly so. I asked for that. You know what that tells me is I need to go back and watch it again.
Rogue One.
It's been too long. Yeah, I'll watch Rogue One.
Yeah, you'll love it.
All right. So there's that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's about it. We're pretty much up to time.
We got through a lot there.
We did. Monday's show, there's going to be a lot of Leafs and Montreal Canadiens and looking back at the week in the NFL. And a great Thursday nighter.
I don't know
Cam Newton versus Carson Wentz.
Monday's going to be a tricky one to schedule because you've got stuff and I got stuff. We may not be able to do a Monday one.
We'll try to figure it out.
We will do our best.
Yeah.
But I'm just warning you now, mm-hmm. if you've listened this far, you probably don't hate the pod.
Thank you for not hating it.
Yeah. That's really,
you guys are the
really
bee's knees.
Is that what you wrote on your music on the cassette?
Yes,
in the car?
On my mixtape.
Music that is the bee's knees?
Hey, buddy, hey, pal.
One thing I dig about you, Kaz, I honestly do, is there's no apology in your game. You are an old man. You are an old man as a young boy, uh-huh. and you will be an old man as an old man.
Yeah, exactly. Why wait? Why wait? Well, hopefully Monday we're going to try to figure it out. We'll let you guys know via Twitter and all those sorts of things. So, Bob, this has been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Kaz podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.